Hey, it's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Wisconsin is in the grips of a major heat wave. An extreme heat warning has been extended across the southeastern region of the state through this evening as the heat index tops 100 for a third day.
Some communities have opened temporary cooling centers and are urging residents to take precautions to stay safe from the heat.
The 12-member Wisconsin Heat Health Network is a group of experts from around the state who work together to promote a coordinated response for events like this.
And we have two members of that network now to talk about how communities can help keep people safe and the risks of extreme heat to public health and well-being.
Kate Beardmore is program manager for the Climate and Health Program at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Kate, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Great. Thanks for having me.
And Dr. Jonathan Patz is here, professor of health and environment at UW-Madison, where he also serves as director of the Center for Health, Energy, and Environmental Research. Dr. Patz, welcome back.
Pleasure to be here, Kate. Thank you.
Kate, let's start with you. You lead the Climate and Health Program that works to keep all residents safe from the heat. What is the most critical thing that communities should be doing now in this extreme heat spell?
Yeah, so at this point in time, we're a couple of days into this heat event. So a lot of communities already are, as you mentioned, opening up cooling spaces. But we also encourage people to make sure that they have their own personal strategies in place. So finding places they can go, calling 211 is a great option for folks to find cooling spaces in their community. There's also going to outdoor spaces like parks or pools. Some communities even offer free admission during these times to make sure people have spaces to cool off and stay safe when it comes to heat.
Okay, so have a personal plan in place as well. Wisconsin is already experiencing more frequent and intense heat waves. More are on the way. What should be included in a community's resiliency plan for responding to extreme heat events like this one, Kate?
Yeah, heat response plans are a really great way for communities to prepare ahead of time. Those plans often bring together folks from public health departments, local emergency management, and service providers. Things that they should be thinking about or including in those plans are the thresholds of when they want to take specific actions. For example, maybe they want to reach out and send some communications to at-risk populations to make those folks are staying safe. Those thresholds might also include when to open that cooling space or other strategies like that. So really these plans kind of put into place what actions we want to take when the heat gets this dangerous.
Dr. Patz, this week's heat wave, it's a combination of the high temperatures, also very high humidity. How does that combination affect a person's health?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, that combination is dangerous because the way we cool ourselves is through sweating. And so when there's a lot of moisture in the air with the humidity, you can't sweat as effectively. You don't have that evaporative cooling. And this is one reason why people with any sort of heart disease are at risk in heat waves, because the body cools itself by pumping blood to the skin, the largest organ in the body, for evaporative cooling. So this is where those types of individuals with heart disease are at risk. Also, anyone with diabetes and risk from dehydration, those would be serious risks. And why it's so important that we take hydration breaks when we're outside. You know, heat is the largest killer of any weather extreme. And if you've been following the heat wave, the big heat dome in Europe, already more than 1,300 deaths are attributed to this most recent heat wave over there.
Over there, looking at numbers here, Wisconsin emergency management numbers in 2025, 10 heat-related deaths, 1,004 heat-related emergency department visits in the state. Dr. Patz, what can we do to prevent deaths like these?
Well, as you know, as Kate mentioned, you know, heat early warning and a heat network of cooling centers is really important. You know, having access to air conditioning is important, and I'd like to say that air conditioning should be replaced with heat pumps, which are much more energy efficient, so we're not exacerbating the problem because we're having more heat waves because of climate change. And so burning fossil fuels, which is from electricity demand, we don't want to make the problem worse as we're managing it.
Kate, you have an eye on the state as a whole on this issue. Are heat health projects and plans a priority for communities around the state?
They are becoming much more of a highlighted concern across the state in community health assessments and risk assessments. A handful of communities already do have heat plans in place. Milwaukee County has a really robust heat plan and also a cold weather plan for later on in the season. But there's also a number of communities that are looking at ways to both mitigate the impacts from heat, so putting in green spaces and places where people can cool off in the community that will also cool down the space as a whole. And they're putting into place these heat response plans that we talked about to mitigate the people side of risk, of heat risk. So, working on creating things like resilience hubs where people not only can access air conditioning, but meet some of their other health needs that they might have.
That is Kate Beardmore, Program Manager for the Climate and Health Program at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Dr. Jonathan Patz is here, Professor of Health and Environment at UW-Madison, as we talk about this heat wave gripping Wisconsin and the southeastern part of the state in particular for a third day. You both sit on the Wisconsin Heat Health Network. This is a coalition of climate scientists, health sustainability experts who focus on health risks associated with extreme heat, keeping people safe. As you gather for these meetings, Kate, first you, what issues related to heat is the network working on?
Yeah, so like you said, we've got a number of folks who are interested in working on this intersection of heat and health. So not only local public health, but emergency management, service providers, community planners, and researchers. So some of the areas that we focus on when it comes to addressing heat is looking at the vulnerable populations. Who should we be most concerned about when it comes to heat? Creating plans like we've been discussing, and then new research that's coming out on heat and putting that into action for communities. So really working on how do we take what's new and what we can understand and implement that in our communities in ways that make sense specifically for us at the local level.
Dr. Patz, at this intersection of heat and health, community heat response plans may take this whole community approach, of meaning response and preparedness for emergency management are not just the responsibility of the government. Can you tell us more about this more holistic approach?
Yeah, Kate, that's an incredible question because to me, it's all about prevention, and you want to move upstream, and you don't want to just be responding. This is where diverse expertise is really important. Involvement of urban planners, for example, having green space and access to green space. Green space is an incredible cooling feature in cities. And so, in areas that lack green space, you get what's called the urban heat island effect. If you just have asphalt roads and concrete buildings that retain the heat, it can get extremely hot compared to places that are adjacent to green space. So it's really important to think beyond just health and getting people into cooling centers. We need to have smart design so that we don't exacerbate the problem of a heat wave when it comes over a city that lacks trees and tree canopy and parks that are very protective. So in that way, it's an all hands on deck type of engagement to design and plan and be preventive of heat waves when they come.
And to note, certain zip codes are more at risk, are more susceptible, that don't have this tree cover and access to green space.
Yeah, in fact, there are some studies that show that formerly redlined neighborhoods, where you weren't allowed to, if you were African American, you weren't allowed to buy a house in these areas. They lacked investment. Investment means parks. And so there's some problems there as far as the fairness of who's at risk in neighborhoods that didn't get investment, don't have any green space or parks, compared to those that do have the cooling benefit of parks and tree cover.
Kate Beardmore, I want to talk a little bit more about these cooling centers, these places people can go for free, like libraries, where I went yesterday, a community center. What should we know about cooling centers and making them more accessible for all people?
And so one of the problems with cooling centers sometimes is that it's hard for people to get to. So as we're thinking about this whole community approach, we want to make sure that our cooling centers are located in spaces that are easily accessible to people or that they have the ability to get there. So if they're on a bus line, maybe during a heat wave, we want to offer free bus admission for folks to get to those spaces. We also want to consider maybe extending hours to make it more available to folks, especially with the heat wave we're seeing right now, where we're not getting below 70 degrees at night. That can be really dangerous for our bodies. So extending those hours into the, you know, later evening, so folks can really give their bodies time to cool down and recover from the heat, is something that we definitely want to make sure people have access to. People may also need to, you know, be able to charge phones and stay connected with their friends and family. Checking on people during heat waves is really important to make sure those that maybe live alone or don't have air conditioning are being checked up on. So being able to charge devices and stay connected with friends and family can be really important during extreme heat like this.
Well, Kate and Dr. Patz, stay cool. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you for having me.
Kate Beardmore, Program Manager for the Climate and Health Program at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, and Dr. Jonathan Patz, a Professor of Health and Environment at UW-Madison, where he also serves as Director of the Center for Health, Energy, and Environmental Research. They're part of this Wisconsin Heat Health Network. It's a coalition of experts from around the state who work on ways to keep people safe from extreme heat.